Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's Tuesday, the 24th of December. It's Christmas Eve. I'm Jules Breach. He's Andy Brassel. And this is Jules and Andy on Football Ramble Daily. Coming up on today's show, there is so much football just around the corner on Boxing Day, a full set of fixtures. So we're going to be previewing a few of those, including Sheffield United against Watford. We'll be talking Southampton with their trip to Stamford Bridge to face Chelsea. And it is the big one, Leicester against Liverpool. Andy, it's Christmas Eve. Christmas Day is tomorrow. Are you feeling in the Christmas spirit?
So excited.
I'm so excited.
I have to be ready for it because we were talking, weren't we, before we came on air about Christmas traditions. One of my biggest Christmas traditions, which I learned off my mother-in-law, thanks Maureen, is cook the turkey on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow. So you're going to start cooking today?
Yeah.
This is a big job.
It takes a lot of the pressure off.
You don't want to ruin the turkey.
It takes a lot of the pressure off. And what we used to do when I was a younger gentleman is the turkey would be cooked on Christmas Eve. We'd come in from the pub on Christmas Eve night. And of course, listeners from Newcastle or people who are familiar with Newcastle will know about their particular type of bread, the stotty.
Oh, okay.
And
it's
kind of like a soda bread, but much nicer.
Right.
And you only get it in the Northeast, bizarrely. anyway, hot turkey sandwich with that.
So you start eating your turkey
on
before Christmas Day.
It can be done.
Wow. So do you,
it can be done just a little taster.
So you cut, this is very different to my tradition. Yes. So do you start, do you carve the whole...
I feel judged because I know your dad's a chef.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. So do you carve the whole turkey on Christmas Eve?
No.
Start making, oh, you don't do the whole thing. You just carve off the bits you want for your sarnie.
Yeah, exactly. But because it takes up so much space and because it takes so much time, if you get it done on Christmas Eve, it takes a lot of pressure off for Christmas Day because you want to be opening presents.
That's
and,
the
you know,
thing. On Christmas Day, you do sort of find stuff, that whoever's job it is to cook ends up stuck in the kitchen all day, don't they?
Yeah.
And if you haven't got a nice open plan house where the kitchen is in the lounge, then you are literally tucked away in another room away from everyone else. And you're kind of just in there getting drunk on your own, which I did last year because it was mine, really? My other half's turn to cook last year at his mum's house in Derby. And we were stuck in the kitchen all day, but I got absolutely trolleyed because we were just drinking wine all day. And then before you know it, you're like, we've been in here 3 hours. I've had a whole bottle of wine and more. And I'm drunk before lunch.
There was that great story, wasn't there, a couple of years ago in 442 when they were discussing Christmas for footballers. And there was an unnamed, I think, Leighton Orient player who had got up for Christmas Day, a massive argument with his wife, drunk a bottle of Malibu before lunch.
A whole bottle of Malibu.
And he woke up like horrendously hungover on Christmas Day. on Boxing Day.
Wow.
When they were playing.
Jeez.
And he was saying he felt really crook. And he went to pass wind in the first half.
Oh no.
And
it was more than wind.
Followed through. And so he just waved over to the bench and said,
gave it one of those.
I can't
take
carry on.
Off.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Did the spinny hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's never drunk on Christmas Day again.
Wow, don't blame him.
Signed
blame
anonymous.
Him.
I don't think we'll get any of that in the Boxing Day games that you mentioned. But there is a lot to look forward to, isn't there? And we marked out a couple of fixtures that we thought we were particularly interested in after the weekend just gone. Sheffield United winning at your beloved Brighton, and Southampton, who had a good away win at Villa, go to Chelsea. Now, let's look at Sheffield United versus Watford first. Mm. I mean, they both go into it in reasonable nick. It's been a decent start for Watford under Nigel Pearson. We've talked about his bear wrestling and what have you in relatively recent times. But Sheffield United, I mean, Brighton must have been feeling pretty good about themselves after the Palace game. Okay, they didn't win it, but they were excellent for 70 minutes. And Sheffield United came to the Amex and is the perfect away performance, and they deserve to win even more comfortably than they did.
Yeah, they completely dominated Brighton, the better team on the day one, that's for certain. I just think that Sheffield United are such a great story this season, aren't they? They've solidified their place in the Premier League in their first season back in the top flight in over a decade, and they've done it quite simply as well. I mean, they're fifth in the league now.
Yeah,
it's like, just incredible when you look at the table, the teams that they're above.
Tottenham, Manchester United, Arsenal, Everton, West Ham. I mean, it's astonishing.
It's incredible what Chris Wilder is doing at that club, and especially with a team of players who near enough are pretty much all the players that were playing in the Championship. It's almost a Championship side that he's taken to the Premier League. And it, particularly in the game against Brighton, if we look at that one from the weekend, their 1-0 victory, they were dominant. They were so well organised, defensively solid. They've just got the ability to completely dominate a game from the start of it to the finish by being so well organised. Every single player on that pitch knows they've got a job to do and they know exactly where they need to be. And there were times when in the second half, I thought Brighton came back into the game. And I really liked what Graham Potter did at half time because brought on two strikers,
yeah.
You know. And I think that we then had three strikers on the pitch and we still were unable to score a goal against Sheffield United. And I was watching every attack that Brighton made and I was thinking, right, come on now, this is the chance. Every ball that's whipped into the box, Sheffield United cleared it. You just can't dribble around the players and get into the box that way because they're so well organised. If there's not one player on you, there's two, there's three, they're surrounding you. There was no way that our players could get anywhere near the box to be able to have a clean and clear shot at goal because that is how good Sheffield United were.
I mean, there have been a few points with Sheffield United where you've thought, right, they've had their fun now. We're going to regress to the mean.
Absolutely. We've been waiting for it, haven't we?
Especially when you consider that a lot of those players, and people have said it again and again, were part of their team in League One. It's absolutely astonishing that they've kept it going. I mean, you know, I think it was quite easy to go back and think to what was it, 2007, 2008, when Hull City first came up to the Premier League under Phil Brown, and the first half of that season they did brilliantly, won at Arsenal, won at Spurs, squirreled away loads of points, and they really needed them in the second half of the season because the bottom completely fell out of it, and they only stayed up on the final day, and that was because of what Newcastle didn't do, not because of what they did do, because they still lost at home to Manchester United. I mean, Sheffield United on 28 points already, and the fact, I think, that there's so many things we've talked about in relation to Chris Wilder. The thing that struck me is when they've lost, like when they lost the lead against Manchester United, a game that they were 2-0 up in, they should have won, and they needed the late equaliser to get it back to 3-3. Through McBurnie, and when they lost narrowly to Liverpool through that Dean Henderson handling error, wasn't it, with Wijnaldum's shot, that Wilder's not come out and said, oh, well, we've done a great job, we've got to put it in perspective. He's called his team out and said, well, you know, if you want to do well in the Premier League, you've got to do better than that. Mm. I can't think of many coaches that would say that.
No. And I think that that's why he's getting a tune out of the players and why they're performing so well. He's a fantastic coach. He won the LMA Coach of the Year last season, didn't he? And he has to be up there with a shout for the 2019 Manager of the Year. He's got to be with what he's doing at Sheffield United. It's just amazing when you think about it. From coming up from the Championship, I reckon majority of people, if you could have picked before a ball was kicked this season, the three teams to go down, I reckon most people would have had Sheffield United down there.
Yeah, people would have had Sheffield United and Norwich.
Yeah.
And I think most people would have let away Villa. Obviously, we spoke about them pretty recently. Not a good weekend for them. But I think it's not just because of the investment that Villa made in the summer, but people still have it in their mind. It's a massive club. It is a massive club. Mm. It's a massive club with great traditions, European Cup winners, and you know, that is still in people's minds, and rightfully so. Whereas, you know, Sheffield United and Norwich aren't thought of as Premier League perennials, rightly or wrongly. And that image does stick a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And we can't help that. You know, that's what modern football is like, isn't it? You kind of look at a team and you're looking for a few star players to go, oh, okay, they're good because of that. They're good because of that. With Sheffield United, it's the whole team, isn't it? It's the whole squad. They're just
collective.
It is. Yeah. There's a you can sense that there's a really good team spirit there as well. The boys all clearly love playing together. They love playing for Chris Wilder. And every time you watch them, you never expect them to lose heavily. And they haven't done that this season.
Well, they've not lost at all away from home, which is amazing.
It's just insane for a newly promoted side. I don't think prior to this weekend, any newly promoted team had ever gone 9 games away from home without losing, and now in the Premier League, that is, not in the top flight, but in the Premier League. And Sheffield United have now done that. It's just, I thought, I mean, obviously I was going to think it because they were coming to the Amex. I thought, we're going to win this one. We've got this, because we've been playing really well as well. And that says a lot about Sheffield United, that I know, you know, Brighton aren't the best team in the Premier League. I'm not saying that, but we have been playing really good football this season.
Yeah.
And I expected at home us to get something out of that game. But as I've already said, there was just no way through their defence. And it's not because they sat back. They just actually played really well. They had a game plan.
Well, they controlled the game, didn't they?
Yeah, they absolutely controlled it. They dominated it, and they definitely deserved the win. So what are we saying about Sheffield United from here? Because obviously we're now heading into the second part of the season. They play Watford on Boxing Day,
which will be tough, actually.
Mm.
I mean, I think we've seen already that they have a bit more about them under Nigel Pearson. I still think, I know Manchester United have been roundly rubbished for their performance, but they looked better when Paul Pogba came on. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And Ben Foster had to make a couple of saves. So, you know, it's not the case, as Nigel Pearson said afterwards, you know, you can't get completely carried away after one win, especially when we know United have struggled on the road, especially against, you know, apparently lesser teams. But this won't be easy for Sheffield United at all. Before we leave Sheffield United versus Brighton, though, we have had an email that I wanted to share with you, but a bit of consolation after the weekend, maybe.
Oh, I hope so. It's really disappointing.
It's from Daniel Cobb, and it's entitled Future England Manager Graham Potter. Hi, Jules and Andy. Following on from the push to make Brighton's everyone's second team, I'd just like to share this with you. I do some scouting work for Brentford, so they are my first team. However, I also work as an analyst dealing with Swedish Allsvenskan, so I've seen every game Graham Potter was in charge of at Östersunds.
Wow.
My brother worked at the time as an analyst for Norwegian Eliteserien, so we decided we wanted to arrange a trip one weekend to see Östersunds playing at home to their closest rivals, GIF Sundsvall, still 2.5 hours away from each other, and Rosenborg, who are playing on the following day. Actually, I did a trip throughout the match where I did Östersunds and Rosenborg. It's about 4 hours apart on the train. Anyway, I know the fixture usually sells out. However, with a lot of Swedish teams at the time, they had the manager's email address and phone number just listed on the website. Seems reasonable. This always seemed crazy to me, but I thought, what the hell, and gave Graham an email to ask if he could arrange tickets or put us in touch with somebody who could reserve some. He got back to me within 20 minutes, thanking us for the support, not only offering tickets for free, but he offered to help us with our trip itinerary between Östersund and Sundsvall. As fortune would have it, I moved out of London to Brighton a few months ago to have a baby daughter, so she will no doubt support Brighton anyway. Just wanted to share that and confirm what an absolutely lovely bloke Graham is. Cheers, Dan.
Yeah, he's a lovely bloke. He's, a top bloke. And from what I've seen so far, I didn't follow much of what he did at Östersunds. I know you did more so than me, Andy. But from what I've seen of everything he's done since he's come to Brighton, he's been excellent. What I love about him, and just to touch on Dan's point there about potentially a future England manager, you can never really call it, but when he said that, it got me thinking, could I ever see Graham Potter being England manager? And I've got to compare him to the current England manager and Gareth Southgate. And actually, when you think about their personalities and the way they are in their press conferences, they actually have fairly similar kind of persona, don't they? It's that very calm, collected, measured sort of personality, isn't it?
Being able to relate to people is something that's often overlooked, because we're in an era where we belatedly examine tactics a lot more than we used to. It's easy to think that that's the only thing. It's not the only thing. Mm. If you can't relate to players and get them to listen to you,
So Steve Sidwell, who works down at Brighton, he looks after some of the under 16s and coaches them. He's obviously around the training ground quite a lot and works at the club. And he's said nothing but good things about Graham and said that the players have really bought into everything he's doing, and he's actually just a really nice bloke. And as you say, I think that is underestimated at times, because you do want to have a manager that the players get on with, that they like. But apparently he does have a side to him where he can be quite strict, which is what I wanted to hear, because you don't want a manager that's too nice at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
So what about Southampton at Chelsea?
Yeah.
I mean, great win for Southampton at the weekend.
Massive.
3-1. It could have been more.
Yeah.
They had their chances both before Villa pulled one back through Jack Grealish, and then they had more afterwards, obviously, on the counter-attack. I know Villa fans will be pretty disappointed with that. But is this a result that Southampton have been threatening for a while? Because I think they've played better than the results have suggested in recent weeks under Hasenhüttl.
Yeah, I think this result was coming. I think before the match, when we do our little predictions in the green room at BT Sport and we're sort of thinking who's going to win what, I did see this as a Southampton win. And it was such a big game and there was so much riding on it, because, you know, it is a cliche, but it was a relegation six-pointer, because whoever lost that game knew they were going to be in the relegation zone come Christmas Day. And that's where Aston Villa find themselves now, 3 points from safety, and Southampton are now out of the relegation zone. They're on 18 points and they really need to keep Danny Ings fit. I know that the boys on the Ramble yesterday talked a lot about Danny Ings, but he is absolutely key to them surviving this season. I think one thing that Southampton fans will be pleased about in terms of the Boxing Day game at Stamford Bridge is that they're away from home, because they've got 3 wins away from home this season, including the one at Villa at the weekend. They got a point at Arsenal. They got a point at Wolves. They've taken more points away from home this season than they have at home. So I think the fans will actually be kind of pleased that they're at Stamford Bridge, despite the fact that's not an easy stadium to go to. The fans are so close to the pitch. It's going to be an intimidating atmosphere. But I think that they play better away from home, Saints.
Yeah, and you could argue the inverse about Chelsea, I suppose. I mean, they were fantastic against Spurs this weekend. But they've had a few little stumble trips against teams you would expect them to beat recently at Stamford Bridge. You know, they've lost to West Ham. They've lost to Bournemouth. Two games that I don't think anyone would have picked. They're proper coupon busters, those. And I think you have to look at Southampton and think, there's a degree of mental strength that's gone into that win against Villa as well. I mean, I know John McGinn got injured really early on when he was making that tackle on Cedric, which completely kiboshed your fantasy plans for the weekend.
Fuming back. I spent ages deciding who I should bench out of John McGinn and Mason Mount, and I didn't fancy Chelsea at all against Spurs. I really didn't. So I was like, do you know what? I had Tammy Abraham anyway, so I thought if they score, it's going to be Tammy. Obviously, it wasn't. But I thought, I'm going to bench Mason Mount, which was a big call. And I thought, this is John McGinn's week. He's blanked for so many weeks now. And I thought, this is the game. He's going to come back into it. Because Southampton, a bit flaky in defence. I thought Saints would win the game, but I thought that John McGinn would get something out of it. I thought he'd score or get an assist or something. Literally, it was like, what was it? Like 7 minutes in and he's down injured. And I thought, I've absolutely ruined my weekend already with this.
Yeah, it sucks.
I hope he's all right. I actually haven't checked up to see how bad that injury was. No, do we know the latest on that?
I don't know, but it looked pretty uncomfortable,
didn't it?
So best wishes to him. But Southampton, I thought it was so impressive when you look at the fact that the last two games that they've lost, they were against really direct rivals in that part of the table, in the shape of West Ham and Newcastle. And I know people say Newcastle are ninth, but, you know, come on. They're looking down rather than up, if we're being realistic about it. And they are in that same sort of bracket of teams as Southampton. So for them to go there and play like that, I thought they played with a lot of ambition, actually.
They did. Yeah, they did. You could clearly see that to be fair, both teams proper went for the win, didn't they?
Yeah.
You could tell that, from the minute the whistle was blown, that they both were desperate for a win out of that match. And I think that Southampton were just better on the day, weren't they? And when you've got a goal scorer like Danny Ings, who is just there to sniff out any opportunity, you're going to win matches. And we talked about it already, but they need to wrap him up in cotton wool. They need to keep him fit because he is prone to injury, Danny Ings. And without him, it looks a bit worrying for Southampton. But they are boosted by that win now. And I think that Ralph Hasenhüttl strikes me as the type of coach that, even when he was under pressure and everyone was saying, you know, he might be the next manager to lose his job, he was always quite strong. And I think that he never really kind of showed that he was under any pressure.
Well, do we need to really go back a couple of months and think, is it incredible, really, that he survived that 9-0 home defeat to Leicester? I mean, getting through that is pretty fantastic. And thinking that they are where they are now, which is outside the relegation zone after that, under the same coach. I think that's something that not a lot of people would have necessarily predicted.
No.
You know, there has been some money spent on that team, arguably not enough. Obviously, Shay Adams has struggled so far. I think they need another striker to help Danny Ings out. I don't think there's any doubt about that, because Shane Long does a lot of great running, but he's never going to score the goals that are really going to make the difference. If we're talking about where the goals in the team are actually coming from, you know, you get Ward-Prowse chipping in here and there.
I like James Ward-Prowse, though. I think he's a really good player, and I think that he's got that creativity that Southampton need. And without him, I think, you know, particularly from set pieces, on corners, all of those things, I think that James Ward-Prowse, he's a really valuable player to Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, it's really him from set pieces, and Bufal, if he comes back into the team from open play. I always had a feeling he would turn into Southampton's Dimitri Payet. It's not really quite turned out like that, but I think that he's got himself back into the first team picture after coming back from a loan. Again, was something that maybe people wouldn't have necessarily predicted. So I think, especially in a period like they're just about to go into, where they've got a lot of games, he will get his chance at various points during those games, and he could make a difference.
And it's Chelsea for them on Boxing Day. How do you see them faring against Chelsea? Because particularly Chelsea now boosted off the back of the win against Jose Mourinho's Spurs. I think Frank Lampard will be delighted with that.
Yeah, he will be. And like you said, it was a bit of a surprise. That I don't know if I'm surprised that Chelsea got a result out of it, but I'm very surprised how much they dominated the game, how much Lampard had the drop on Mourinho, if we're being perfectly honest, as well. Spurs weren't sharp. They look really, really sluggish, and Chelsea were absolutely fantastic. But I would say as well that it was a fantastic away performance. Again, they've got to transpose that to a home setting against the team that they're expected to beat. is something that they've not managed to do on the last two occasions when they've been asked to do it. But you know, this is Chelsea season, isn't it? It's a learning experience. And I think before that West Ham game, people were starting to get a little bit ahead of themselves about Chelsea. It was something that Frank Lampard, to his enormous credit, was quite keen to impress after that game against Tottenham, to say, look, we're still learning, and you know, we can't say we're this or we're that, because you know, there's another game, and then there's another game, and then there's another game. We can't just build it all in the back of one result. And
yeah,
you know, we thought of like the Ajax win away and the Champions League as a sort of turning point, and they did have a spell of really great form after that. But to maintain that for the whole season, especially with the fact they're going forward in the Champions League, it's a lot to ask, isn't it?
Yeah, and as you say, they went for a bit of a bad spell as well. 4 defeats in 5 coming into the match against Spurs. And that will have knocked their confidence, wouldn't it? So I think that where they are now, 4th in the Premier League table, they're 4 points clear of Sheffield United in 5th. I think Frank Lampard's got his team in a really good position coming into Christmas.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Leicester suffer a crucial Christmas slip, and they have Liverpool on Boxing Day, by which time Manchester City will be eyeing up their second place.
This is Jules and Andy on Football Ramble Daily. You can get in touch with us at Jules Breach, at Andy Brassel, at Football Ramble, or julesandandy@footballrambledaily.com. And I'm always surprised by the amount of emails we get. It's kind of quite retro, isn't it, getting emails these days, don't you think?
I love it, because obviously on Twitter there's a certain amount you can say, whereas we love your long stories. So please do keep emailing us. We love those, and we're going to get to some of them in a minute. Let's talk about the big one on Boxing Day. It's Leicester against Liverpool. Maybe not so big anymore after Leicester losing to Manchester City. What do you think, Andy? It's a bit of a shame, wasn't it? I just thought if Leicester win that, and then it just puts a little bit more pressure on Liverpool coming into this game, knowing that if they lose it, that gap just closes. Whereas now, it's Liverpool are 10 points clear of Leicester in second place. Although I do think that if Leicester win the game, I'm backtracking now, if Leicester win this game and they've got momentum going forward, and Liverpool with, you know, the fixtures coming thick and fast and fatigue and whatever else Klopp has to deal with his squad and the amount of matches that everyone's playing and the minutes that they've got under their belt. You never know, do you? But yeah, I was a bit disappointed that they didn't beat City.
Well, you always have some weird results at Christmas. And for me, if Leicester were to win this, that would be a weird result. I just expect something from Liverpool now. They're just utterly, utterly
Relentless. Yeah.
And even with the trip away, I don't know if that actually would have done them a little bit of a favour. I know people say, what, trip to Qatar and extra time? Maybe that's not absolutely ideal. But I think a break from the old routine, a complete break from the competitions you're used to, so the mental scenery as well as the physical scenery, I think will be pretty good for them. And, you know, especially the joy of actually winning a trophy. And it's something, isn't it, that the fact that the Club World Cup has never really quite gripped people in England to the same extent, not just that it does in South America, but in other European countries. It's a massive deal. And it was funny. I remember one of the things I was reading after El Clasico last week, one of the Madrid papers, I think it was Marca, was saying the Clasico was the last day after 3 years that Real Madrid would be able to wear that gold shield, saying their club world champions on their shirt. And they're all really sorrowful about it. I wonder how Liverpool fans will become attached to this. And, you know, there are lots of Liverpool fans out there. They're a club with huge global reach as well. I'm just interested to know how much English Liverpool fans will feel that. Feel that as a moment, like with that on the shirt. I would hope a lot, because it is a big deal.
I think so. And I think it's one of those things where if Liverpool hadn't won it, it would be like, ah, we don't care about it anyway.
Yeah.
But because they have won it, it's now going to be a thing, and they're going to really kind of make the most of being the world champions. And I think they should. I think, you know, all of the players posting on social media about how proud they are to win it and seeing all their pictures with the trophy and
the celebrations were incredible, weren't they?
It was amazing seeing all the celebrations. And, you know, I think that will just give them a confidence boost, you know, to come back to England and say, we are the world champions. For Jordan Henderson, as Liverpool captain, you know, that's a hugely proud moment for him to lead his team. And you were just saying there about, you know, whether or not actually the trip won't have done the team any bad. You know, they've, as you say, it's a bit of escapism from the normal routine. Also, there's the warm weather, which would have been nice for them to have a bit of a warm weather break when it's so cold out here. And then on top of that, Klopp actually rested quite a few of the players for the semi-final, didn't he? Then for the final, he played pretty much a full-strength team, and Virgil van Dijk was back for that. He'd been ill. So I don't think the players will be that exhausted off the back of it.
No, and I think it'd be quite a nice bonding experience as well. The idea that they're all away together to reinforce what their aims are for the season, what they're hoping for from the rest of it. I think this could work out really nicely for them. I guess the question over Leicester going into this as well, of course, they took the lead in exactly the way that we would have predicted before the start. But after that, they weren't great. And there has to be the one question over Leicester this season is, do they shrink in these biggest games? And I guess we're about to find out one more time, right?
Yeah, well, they've lost three times this season, to Liverpool when the game was at Anfield, to Manchester City, and to Man United. All those games were away from home. In fact, they're yet to lose at home, but away from home in those three games, as you say, against what you'd call bigger opposition.
Obviously, well, it's about the occasion, isn't it? Not just the opposition.
Not just the team, yeah.
I mean, they were really blunt at Manchester United, which you don't expect at all.
They were quite poor in that game, weren't they?
Yeah, and you know what? I think you look at that and the Liverpool game, they could have lost by more. I know they lost in very particular circumstances and they almost snatched a point, but it would have been snatching a point. It wouldn't have been a well-deserved point at Anfield, would it?
No, I agree. And I think against Manchester City, you know, they never really looked like winning that game to me, despite the fact they went ahead. Because I think that Kasper Schmeichel had a really good game, didn't he? He made a few brilliant saves. And you thought, at one stage, Man City are going to score. They're going to score in this game. Mahrez looked like a man possessed. There was nothing that was going to stop him scoring against his old club, was there?
No, absolutely. And seeing Manchester City play like that from a neutral perspective, especially the way they got into it in the second half, was really enjoyable. Obviously, now they've got an opportunity to try and make up some ground and get in second place. Of course, on the 27th, they go to Wolves, which isn't easy at all. Mm. And will be tough for them. But yeah, I do think that, you know, Leicester have had so many plaudits this season, and rightfully so. I mean, along with Sheffield United, they've been the story of the season. But I think they've got something to prove in this, definitely.
I think they do too. And I think that if they do manage to get a result out of the game, if they manage to beat Liverpool, could they gain momentum and go on a little bit of the run? Because after the Liverpool game, they're away to West Ham. After that, they face Newcastle and then Aston Villa and Southampton. Aston Villa's actually in the EFL Cup, but then it's Southampton and Burnley in the league. They've got a really nice run of fixtures after the Liverpool game.
Did you say 3 points? I didn't say 3 points. That's three, not three, said in a South London accent, just in case you wondered. Look, we want to get to some of your correspondence as well before we go. We've been asking you for questions as always, and also dream Christmas presents. Dylan Tuck, my dream Christmas present would be for Spurs to have a solid midfield again, but realistically I'll settle for some socks. There's one here from Andy the Butts saying, so Ancelotti brings in Allen, Ruiz and Insigne from old club and Everton finish top four next season. Well, it's a nice time of year to dream. I'm going to say probably not for that, but it would be lovely for Everton if it were to happen, obviously.
Obviously. Damiano says, very much enjoyed the Jules Breach love for Matt Ryan and Aaron Moy last week. There's a lot of Australian love as always. So thank you so much for that. What is your dream Christmas present, Andy? Have you got one?
My dream Christmas present, Wimbledon to make up the stadium fund shortfall. That would be ideal. So, you know, like all people of a certain age, I just want money.
It's a good thing to ask for.
Talking of Australia, yeah. We've got one here from Gary O.B.
Oh, you're going to do it in an Aussie accent?
I'm not controversially. that's a Christmas present too far, Jules. Hi, Jules and Andy. I'm English, so I don't even need to.
There you go.
And have been living in Australia for the last year. I can say Jules is spot on when it comes to Optus Sports Service top quality.
Oh,
three minutes, 24 minutes and full match highlights from all matches. That's an interesting idea. You talked about that before, didn't you? And they even give you a nice overnight highlights for all the goals. Ideal for those times De Bruyne bangs them in against your beloved Arsenal. we feel your pain. Keep up the good work, guys. There's one from a genuine Australian here, Jacob Meehan.
So much Aussie love.
Who says, this is all down to you. Hi, Jules and Andy. Love the show. And Wimbledon and Brighton gain a larger place in my heart with each episode. That said, I may be missing some cultural context as an Australian millennial, but this is going to be hard not saying an Australian accent. But geez, I thought you were pretty stiff on XTC. I really reckon that track's a banger. Cheers, Jacob.
I'm sorry. I don't know anything about XTC. I'm going to have to be educated.
Greatest hits in the Christmas stocking?
Nah, I'm all right, thanks. I just want some green arrows for my fantasy football team. I know that's sad to ask for, but I've dropped dramatically after the worst week ever. I'd like some green arrows.
I'm in hibernation until the Champions League Fantasy League restarts in February. That's the thing. You open up the app in a couple of days before the games. You think, oh, half my team's been knocked out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that obviously becomes...
You have to rehash the whole team. Yeah.
Yeah, and that becomes more and more the case as the rounds go on, obviously.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, that's it for us. We're going to go and get ready for Christmas. I'm sure you want to do the same as well. Just a reminder, though, that next week we are doing an end of year special. We're going to be going through some of our favourite moments of 2019. And we've had so many great suggestions from you guys. We're going to be getting as many of your stories on from the year on next week's Tuesday Ramble. So make sure you have a little listen to that. And hope you have a Merry Christmas. Andy, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Happy Christmas to you too.
Thank you. Have a great one. Make sure you eat all the food, all the cheese and drink all the wine. Have an amazing time and we'll see you next week.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Yay!
All the cheese, all the wine.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.